Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in 2 Chronicles chapter 3, when Solomon builds the temple. Verse 1 says, "Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to David his father at the place that David had appointed on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. He began to build in the second month of the fourth year of his reign." These are Solomon's measurements for building the house of God. Now, you might think that it's strange to immediately enter into the measurements. However, when we read in the book of Revelation the measurements for the heavenly Jerusalem, note that there's no temple, but the Jerusalem measures out at 12,000 cubits by 12,000 cubits, making it 144,000 square cubits, meaning that the people of God are itself the city and the temple. Now, cubit is to me and you from the middle finger, the tip of your middle finger, to the elbow. So 60 cubits long is what the measurement of the temple is in this chapter, by 20 cubits wide means 90 feet by 30 feet. And then the weights, we have to translate those too. So when you read that something weighed 50 shekels, that is 1 1/4 pounds. So those were gold nails that were used, and they weighed a lot. So it tells us the weight of the nails so that we can appreciate that this was a heavy project, simply because gold is the heaviest metal known to man, which means that when the temple was finished, it weighed 23 tons, or to us, nearly 50,000 pounds. Of course, like we said, gold is the heaviest metal in the world. But let's look at the symbolism a little bit more in the temple. We're told how the temple was built, yes, but we're also told about the symbolism, what was crafted with those materials. Now, gold was the symbolism of heaven. It symbolized royalty or opulence. Bronze, on the other hand, was symbolism of judgment. In other words, whenever the sacrifice for sins was made, or the people wanted to symbolize God's wrath being poured out for sin, then the altar would be of bronze. And lastly, silver was for service. Now, Christ performed ministries of all three of these, as the king, gold, as the sacrifice, bronze, and as the servant, or the high priest, silver. Now, there was also in the temple cherubim. Not cherubim, but cherubim. And in heaven, there were 7 of them. We're told that they are the sevenfold spirit of God. Now, that doesn't mean that God is 7 parts. It means that these spirits minister directly before God's presence. Those 7 spirits, or 7 cherubim, are seen in not only the book of Revelation, but all throughout the apocalyptic literature like Ezekiel and Daniel, over and over. But the interesting thing to note is they looked a lot in Ezekiel's prophecy and Daniel's like Babylonian gods. Now, there's a reason for this. The purpose of painting their picture to look like Babylonian gods is to show that God's servants look like the gods of the other nations. In other words, our God is greater. Do the cherubim actually look like this? Chances are they don't. But this is how the prophetic word described them to people under the threat of the Babylonians. But let's go back to the temple itself. There were support beams, and part of the support beams were made from the wings of the cherubim. So I want you to picture a beam, a cherubim on one side of the temple, and a cherubim on the other with their wings actually spreading out to make the supports to the beams or the pillars. So their wings were very artistically crafted to be supports to hold up the ceiling. And they stood there guarding God's presence to the Holy of Holies, just as the Garden of Eden in the book of Genesis was guarded by a cherubim. So again, the cherubim are those 7 spirits in front of the throne that act as if they are God's bodyguards. Not that God would ever need anyone to protect them, but they are a reminder to us that we can't enter into the presence of God as human beings because we are sinful and we need a blood sacrifice. And there in the temple in the Holy of Holies were two cherubim reminding the people of God that you have been cut off or barred out from God's presence. And in verse 14, we lead to the next symbol, which is the curtain. He made the curtain of blue, purple, and crimson yarn and fine linen with the cherubim worked into it. So there we see the connection again between the cherubim, these guardians of God's presence, with the blood sacrifice. So how do we know the curtain represents blood sacrifice? Well, notice that there's three types of cords woven together. You see, you would have looked at the tabernacle and it was a bunch of cords. It was purple, blue, and crimson. All three, and I'll tell you as an RN and a firefighter, I've seen a lot of blood in my day, and these are the colors of oxygenated blood, unoxygenated blood, and the mix of the two in the lungs, purple, where gases are exchanging. Unoxygenated blood is blue, but we only see it red because when oxygen hits it, it changes color. So these were woven cords, meaning that the wall of the tabernacle looked like blood vessels. All three, oxygenated, unoxygenated, and mixed in the lungs with partially oxygenated. And the tabernacle itself, if you haven't figured this out yet, was covered in skins. So the actual tabernacle itself in the Old Testament looked like a human body. And all this was for a reason, because Christ came, John 1 says, and tabernacled amongst us. He was the presence of God come into our midst. Now, the other symbolism you'll see in this chapter are pomegranates, which again are kind of like the flesh. In the Old Testament, they represent the flesh. In fact, they're used for parts of the anatomy in the Song of Solomon, which I won't go into here. But if you've ever noticed in the land of milk and honey, pomegranates don't just represent fruitfulness or abundance, but they also represent the body. How do we know? Well, like I said, they're used in Song of Solomon, but when you crack them open, it looks like skin on the outside and blood or blood vessels if you cut a piece of flesh in half. Therefore, everything regarding the temple had symbolism in the person of Christ, who himself is equated with the temple. On multiple occasions did Jesus say, "If you destroy this temple, I will raise it up again in 3 days." And of course, Jesus himself is the meeting place, the place where we actually meet with God, the true tabernacle, the temple not made with human hands, as the Bible calls him. But Jesus knew that he himself was the temple, the only place where the blood sacrifice would be made in his flesh. He was the true Holy of Holies, God shrouded by human flesh. And here, the temple, even though it would be made of stone, could still be torn down. And although men might put stone upon stone and try to erect it again, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, not one of these stones will be left on another. But if you tear this temple down," speaking of his body, "I will raise it again in 3 days."
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener-supported, so thanks for giving. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.